WRKC is proud to present a new weekly drama, The Adventures of Harry Flynn. The Adventures of Harry Flynn is written, performed, and directed by King's students. We now present our third episode, The Losing Hand.
After two straight weeks of work, Deborah was beginning to lay it on thick. Don't blow that smoke in my face. When was the last time you saw the inside of a wash tub? And on and on and on. I'd had it up to here, so I told her I was visiting my great aunt for a few days, and that she should forward all of my phone calls to 555-9052. That just so happened to be the phone number of my favorite bar, Glenn's. Glenn was tending tonight. Good guy, Glenn. He had all the smarts of an Ivy Leaguer, but none of the breaks, so he was forced to take any job open. Hey, Glenn! Two whiskey sours over here.
Sure thing, Harry.
Nothing gets to me like a couple of whiskey sours. I looked into the murky amber comfort that had been poured out into my glass, and I couldn't help feeling like I did after my first case. A breakup of a small bootlegging operation by a small-time hood. I also couldn't help thinking, thank God Prohibition had been revealed.
Excuse me.
Yeah?
You've got a call.
Great. Just when I was getting comfortable. Hello?
Great Aunt Florence, huh?
Well, I was...
Don't bother. Just get back here. We got another case.
I hailed a cab, and before I knew it, I was back in my office consoling two distraught parents. Pamela and Bernie Plano. The Planos were about 5 cents away from being homeless, and their clothes and hygiene showed it. They were good-hearted people who were very upfront about their lack of money, and if it hadn't been for my 2 good weeks of work, I would have turned them away. This job isn't for people who have consciences. Nevertheless, I felt like I should, because I've been there and it isn't fun. I started in with the usual line. So, let's get it from the beginning. How old is your daughter?
5. She just turned 5.
Okay, and what's her name?
Stacy.
All right, now you say your daughter was kidnapped.
Yes, Detective. My wife was teaching night school and I had a pressing engagement. We left her with a mutual friend, and when we came back, our daughter was gone.
Where was the friend?
The police found her bound and gagged in our restroom. She didn't see anyone.
Uh-huh. And what about you, Mrs. Plano? Did you find anything suspicious about all this?
Suspicious? Suspicious? My baby is gone, and you ask me if I find anything suspicious? My darling girl's probably...
I'm sorry. I'm just trying to get some evidence.
I know. It's just hard to deal with. I mean, you know, at your age, I'm sure you have some kids at home.
Actually, no, never even been married.
Really? I would have sworn, because... You know, most people have a couple of kids by your age.
Oh, all right, dear. That's enough.
What? I'm just saying, it's a little odd that he's unmarried and his advanced age, let alone without kids. You should get on that, Detective.
Okay, well, I think I have about all the evidence I need. Have a nice night. I shunted them out and made a beeline straight for the precinct. I didn't want to disturb them after such a traumatic ordeal and didn't want to go barging around their house. Luckily, I had ties with one Officer Spinelli and was sure he could fill me in about it. All right, Spinelli, what can you tell me about this particular case?
Well, nothing. Whole thing was cut and dry. No fingerprints, no dropped items, just a Jimmy Dore and a thoroughly confused babysitter. Sorry, Detective.
All right. Damn. I changed my mind and ended up scoping out the house for some kind of a clue. Any kind of clue at this point. Turned that meager apartment upside down and inside out, and couldn't find anything more interesting or more informative than a single antique china plate. I was about to turn it in for the night, and when I heard the door start to open. I didn't know how the Planos would react, so I ducked into the kitchen. Unfortunately, I ducked right into their collection of pots and pans. You'd have to be deaf or dead not to hear it.
All right. Whoever's in there, I have a large stick, and I'm not afraid to use it. Well, actually, I am kind of afraid to use it. I've got a large stick, and I'm moderately afraid to use it. Is this about the money... I can pay it. Just please bring my daughter back. No? All right, I'm coming back there.
It's okay. It's just me.
Oh, thank God. I thought you... Oh, never mind.
You thought I was what? And what was all that about money a moment ago?
It's not... We're... Oh, Detective. I don't know what to do. I can't tell Pam.
What?
I have a problem. I'm a bit of a compulsive gambler.
Ah.
It started with horse racing and eventually moved its way up to this gambling den on the south side of town. I was doing real well on this hand of rummy, enough to get us a good life, but it just slipped away from me. The guys who owned the den gave me a month to pay it off, and when I didn't come through, they took Stacy. Please, Detective, under no circumstances are you to tell my wife.
Understood. Now, do you know who exactly runs the games?
No, not really. I was just there to play, you know?
Do you at least know the address?
Yeah, in between 74 and 78 Harriet Lane.
Thanks, Bernie. Oh, and Bernie, one last thing.
Yes?
Try to gain more confidence while you're threatening people. I finally had a lead. Now time to visit an old friend for some good information.
What is it, Harry?
Carolyn, I need all the information you can give me about a gambling racket on the south side of town located on Harriet Drive.
You're in luck. I just did a piece on that. It got scrapped.
Why did it get scrapped?
Because I didn't have enough conclusive evidence. But you gotta believe me, Harry. It's on the level.
Don't worry. I trust your judgment.
Okay. Here are all the notes on the case.
Thanks. You're a lifesaver, Carolyn. After this case, you want to go get a drink?
Wish I could, but I can't. Lots of papers to file and columns to write.
All right. Thanks again. I opened up the folder and...
What was that?
What?
You were narrating what you were doing just now.
No, I wasn't.
Yes, you were.
Yes,
you were, and don't deny it.
I walked out of her office, being sure to keep my internal monologue just that. I hailed a cab to take me back to my office. While riding in the cab, I opened the folder again. Good God. Bernie had gotten himself in deep if everything Carolyn wrote was true. This wasn't just a gambling den. It was a gambling den run by the biggest mafia family in town, the Colazionis. Their leader, Giovanni, had a laundry list of charges up against him that nobody could tack on. This case just jumped up the ladder in priority. If I can find their daughter, that'll be great for them. But if I can link up Giovanni Colazioni to the den, it'll be great for the whole damn city. The real question here was how.
We'll return for the exciting conclusion of The Losing Hand, but first, a word from our sponsor.
Howdy, folks. Big Jake here, and have I got an offer for you. Are you tired of hauling big, heavy garbage out to the end of the street dump of the harbor? Well, have I got a deal for you. For only $100 a bag, I'll carry whatever you want me to drag to wherever it needs to go. But don't take my word for it. Ask some of my best customers.
My husband always refused to take out the trash. So every week, I was dragging these big, heavy bags out to the car and driving them to the dump. Then Big Jake came along and fixed all of my problems. He even took the bag out to the river and dumped the sub...
All right, that's enough of that. Dragging garbage can be tough on your back, especially when rigor mortis kicks in. But I've got a team of trained professionals who used to work in morgues, which is entirely unrelated to our service, and no saying otherwise.
My boss just wouldn't get off my back about cleaning up the store. No matter how many times I cleaned it up, it just wasn't good enough. So I called Big Jake, and he took care of everything. Only trouble is now I'm looking for a new job because the business dissolved after my boss stopped showing up to work.
The real mark of a great business is the return customers. Like my favorite customer, Miss Trixie Dodgington.
I hire Jake to come down and clean up my house every 4 years or so. The first time when I was just 18, 2 years after my first marriage. Now I'm 36, and I've hired him to take care of business 5 times. I'm getting ready to have him come over again.
Honey, who are you talking to?
Nobody, sweet pea. Jake is coming over next week, and I'll be free again.
Yes, free of garbage. Big Jake will take the biggest problems in your life, put them in a bag, and dump them in the river. That, and you'll save a lot of money on a casket. Don't worry, industry joke. Just call 1-800-BODY-BAG.
We now return to the exciting conclusion of The Adventures of Harry Flynn.
After 15 minutes of deliberating and bouncing ideas off of a gin and tonic, I realized I was just going to have to grab the bull by the horns. By the very deadly Tommy gun-holding horns. I went back to my apartment and went looking for my nice suit. One does not walk into the Colazioni family restaurant in slacks and a shirt. Unfortunately, my nice suit was nowhere to be found, so I called the office looking for it.
Hello? Harry Flynn Detective Agency, you're talking to Deborah. Who am I talking to?
Deborah, do you have my suit?
Do I have your suit? I don't even know who you are yet. Who am I talking to?
I don't have time for this.
Well, I guess I don't have your suit then.
Damn it. It's me, Harry.
Oh, hello, Harry. I was just talking about you.
No kidding. It's my suit there. The nice one.
Nope, I sent it for the dry cleaning. It stunk of booze.
Oh, all right. Wait, I just got that dry cleaned. Why would it stink of booze?
I spilled a little.
Are you drinking on the job?
I learned from the best.
I promptly decided I didn't have time for this and let my hanging up speak for itself. The return search of my closet ended up being less than successful. I found a presentable pair of black pants, a light blue shirt, and a plaid jacket with only one missing button. That, with a bright purple tie that I never remember having seen before, finished off what would hopefully pass as an acceptable outfit. I got in my car and headed to the den, practicing my accent as I drove. Apparently it was in the basement of a nice restaurant called Colazione's. It amazed me how little subtlety was at work here. It was the kind of place I'd take a girl if my paychecks had an extra 3 digits. I made my way as instructed through a hallway and came across a couple of mooks in pinstripe suits. The first was a weaselly-looking man who couldn't look me in the eye if he stood on a chair. The other had the stature to be intimidating if it weren't for the bewildered look on his face.
You ready to try your luck?
Pardon me?
Shut up, Vito.
I was just asking him, Vinny.
Well, don't ask him anything. I'll do the asking around here.
Can I ask something?
Shut up.
Just because I'm here to see my cousin, 3 times removed, on my mother's side. Think he owns this place, Giovanni?
Oh yeah, he's in the back office.
Shut up, Vito. He'll be in the back office.
I was saying that, Vinny.
Shut up, Vito. So, what's your name?
Luckily, a detective is always ready to think on his feet. I'm Mickey. Mickey the doorknob.
The doorknob?
Yeah, because you want someone to leave, you turn the doorknob. Makes more sense in Italian.
I don't know. I think it's kind of good.
Shut up, Vito.
So, you letting me see my cousin?
Yeah, but I'm keeping an eye on you.
Yeah, say hi to your mother for me.
You too.
Shut up, Vito.
I left the two in mid-argument and headed down the stairs to the den. The basement made the restaurant look like a hovel. It was filled with fine carpets, mahogany tables, and thugs with guns. I had misjudged the size of the operation. There must have been at least 80 people gambling their lives away, and it was early yet. Unfortunately, I wasn't there to drag anyone home. So I made my way through the finery until I found a door with block words saying just office. If possible, I decided I wouldn't go through that door. Instead, I walked along the wall until I found a hallway and headed down it. There were a bunch of smaller rooms with other patrons dressed in even finer clothing and with larger piles of cash. The air reeked of corruption and vice. But no locked doors and no good places to hide a kidnapped 5-year-old. I made sure that my piece was cocked and headed back to the office. Tentatively, I knocked twice.
Come in.
I let myself in and had a quick look around. Through the thick smoke of the office, I could make out 4 men cradling Tommy guns and a 5th behind a big mahogany desk. This 5th was the source of the smoke, a finely dressed man about 40 years old with a cigar that I'd put money down was Colombian. The cigar, not the man. Giovanni?
Yeah, let's ask him.
I let my hand rest near my gun, because if things were going to go south, they're going to go south now. It's me, Mickey, your cousin, 3 times removed, mother's side.
Oh, Mickey. Gods, give us some space, wait outside. I've been wanting to meet you, Mickey, visiting from Sicily.
What are the chances? And no more thugs. Things were really starting to look up. Yeah, I've got business here in the States, and I knew your mother'd kill me if I didn't visit you.
God bless her.
He stood up and poured 2 glasses of what I can only imagine was expensive red wine. Tasted good enough to me, though it could have used some extra kick.
So why'd you come down and visit me here? Didn't you give me my home address?
I didn't want to disturb your home time. I mean, you only have so much time to spend with the family.
You looking for work?
Yeah. See, back in Sicily, I always did kidnappings. But whatever's open.
I see. There's just one reason I can't hire you.
Overstaffed?
My mother's been dead 10 years.
Sat in silence for a moment, trying to figure out what this had to do with our business arrangement.
It's a big loss for the entire family. So even ignoring the fact you couldn't have gotten my address from him, Mickey'd have to at least know that and wouldn't have been so rude as to pull up old wounds. You aren't Mickey. And besides, no self-respecting Colazione would wear a suit like that. If I had to wager, I guess you're some kind of cop. Nah, the clothes and accent are too bad for even them. Private Eye?
Suddenly I knew what it was like to be on the wrong side of private investigating. I didn't like it.
Now, I usually don't like to shoot people in here, but you have made me mad.
Any way we can talk about this? One of these days, I'm going to learn that nobody wants to talk. He pulled a magnum that closely resembled a cannon out from under his desk and promptly fired at me twice. I pushed the desk with my feet and was lucky enough to avoid the hot lead. The desk slammed into Giovanni's arm and knocked the gun out of his hand. A second later, I was on him with my gun pointed at his head and the door had opened to let in 4 very insistent men with Tommy guns. Let's
not do anything hasty. One move from any of you and you'll be short one boss.
Guns down. Now.
They hesitantly agreed and lowered their guns before stepping away from the door. Get us out the back way. We're going to go visit a Miss Stacy Plano. One wrong move and... Actually, I imagine you know the drill.
Don't push it.
Giovanni led me out to a black car with black bulletproof windows. Made me wonder if I was in the wrong profession. I kept my beat on him as he drove. Besides the engine, things were awkwardly quiet. That's common in situations like this. So, Giovanni, how old are you exactly?
32 this June. Why?
Oh, just couldn't place it. It's the voice, I think. Get kicked in the neck when you were a kid?
Yeah, doctor says it's the smokes. I don't buy it. Had him sleep with the fishes.
Huh. Remind me not to get on your bad side.
You're pointing a gun at me.
Oh, right. If anything, my attempt at civility had only made things worse. We drove on in silence until we came to a warehouse. The floor was covered with puddles of stagnant water, and the entire place stank to high heaven. I kept my gun pressed to the back of his head as we walked in. We made our way to a locked office with a tiny grated window. Through the window, I could see a tiny girl, curled up and sleeping to try to get her mind out of this nightmare. The key! Now!
I've got to get it from my pocket. Don't want you getting flinchy or anything.
Yeah, just get it. He took a key out of his pocket and threw it under a piece of machinery. He then threw a match on one of the puddles and it burst into flame. Oil. I should have known by the smell. If I didn't act fast, the whole place would be ablaze before I could save Stacy. For his part, Giovanni ran out of the warehouse. I dove for the machinery and shoved my hand under it, reaching and scrambling for the key. Something sharp cut into my hand, but I couldn't let myself get distracted. I grabbed the key and turned to see fire racing up one of the walls of the warehouse. With increasing desperation, I shoved the key into the doorknob and wrestled it open. Stacy was sobbing now, and the smoke was starting to get to me. I picked her up and covered her head with my coat before running for the door as burning wooden shingles fell around me. Giovanni had apparently closed the door and pushed something to block it. My lungs felt like they were on fire as I wrestled it open, barely enough for me to squeeze through. As I stood outside, burned, bruised, and battered, I looked down at Stacy crying in my arms. The warehouse collapsed in upon itself. The fire truck arrived 2 minutes later. I gave over Stacy to be looked at before surrendering myself for examination. Nothing some bed rest wouldn't fix, though hopefully the trauma wasn't too bad for a little 5-year-old girl. I got back to my office and called the Planos, but not before buying 3 train tickets to a little town far away from all this city life. Sure, it's sentimental. Sue me. With the warehouse went all the proof that the Colazionis were involved in anything beyond fine Italian cuisine. Hopefully that'd be enough. I'd hate to have the strongest crime family in the city hold a grudge against me.
This has been The Adventures of Harry Flynn, presented by WRKC. This week's episode, The Losing Hand, was written by Brandon Leon Gambetta and Lucas Tomsacci. Our cast today was Brandon Leon Gambetta as Harry Flynn, Brandy George as Deborah and Widow, Drake Nestor as Bernie and Vito, Elsbeth Williams as Pamela, Carolyn, and Trixie, Mark Zurich as Glenn, Old Man, Employee, and Vinny. Lucas Tomasacci as the announcers Spinelli, Big Jake, and Giovanni Colazione. If you'd like to write or perform in The Adventures of Harry Flynn, find us on Facebook,